Grace, mercy, and peace be on you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 13th chapter of St. Mark, the gospel text which has already been read. Be seated. You know, it's not there anymore. It's not there anymore, and that's okay. It's okay. The building, it had been a good building, a useful building, built for a specific purpose that it had served well for many years. But it's a building that's no longer needed, and it's not there anymore. That's okay. That's okay. And you've heard me talk before about Neil Ferguson. He's a very good writer. He's written much. His most important work, I think, is titled The West and the Rest. And when we talk about the West, we're talking about Western Europe, from which most of our ancestors came, and to the places to which they came, mostly North and South America. And some of us will add the adjective Christian and speak of the Christian West, because that used to be the only, and it still is, our predominant religion in this country and in the West. And Ferguson says, the Christian religion is not at the periphery, but it's at the center of Western civilization and culture. And without the Christian religion, he says, we would not have all the good things that we have in places like the United States, particularly our freedoms. Founders of this country also understood that. When they spoke of the freedom of religion, says Larry Schwieber, they were thinking of the Christian religion, a religion which is different from the rest. And the writers of the U.S. Constitution are also very adamant about this thing, that for this thing, the Constitution which governs us to work, you would have to have moral people. Moral people. And Christians do tend to be moral people. And besides that, we are salt. And those around us imitate us. They effort the good works that Christians and Christian churches do without even thinking about it. And Neil Ferguson talks about six killer apps that made America great and the West. Six killer apps. You can see them on his websites. And then the way things work in terms of scientific advancement. A new scientific thing is discovered, and then people use that discovery to develop new technology, and then that new technology often turns into an application, how we use it. The word app is short for application, and it means the application of technology to our lives, most often these days in connection with a computer chip. A killer app is an innovation that is good, useful, productive. The concept is not new. We've always had new technology, but the term is new, and it applies mostly to the smartphone or to the iPhone, if you roll that way. The automobile was a killer app when it first came into being, taking new technology, making something that moves a car. It could get you from one place to another faster, in greater comfort, and eventually the automobile became at least as reliable as the horse and buggy. Before that, buggies and buggy whips were killer apps. You could make the horse pull and your buggy go faster if you had a good whip. For somebody like me, these days, the word processor is a killer app. I use it all the time to process, you know, words. TurboTax, Quicken, and the spreadsheet make life easier for my brother the accountant. But the term killer app is most often applied to the phone these days. If you have a question, if I have a question, I ask the phone. I ask the phone, and more often than not, the phone will tell me the answer. When I want to call somebody, I tell the phone to call that person. Or if I'm in the car, I tell the car to tell the phone to call that person. And if I want to find my way to my destination, the phone gets me there. And it can read to me. And I can listen to the radio on the phone and record sermons like I'm doing right now, even as we speak. Neil Ferguson named 6 killer apps made by the Christian West that made the Christian West what it is now, a civilization unlike any other, head and shoulders above all others, even the ancient Greeks and Romans. I always thought it telling, growing up, that the former Soviet Union and places like East Germany had to build walls, and really strong walls, walls with concertina wire on the top, and guard dogs to keep people in. And people were still willing to risk their lives to get out. I always thought that was a little bit telling. The ancient Romans built walls to keep people out, to stop them from getting in, because everybody wanted to get in to get a piece of what the Romans had to offer. And you may have noticed, the Christian West is for the most part not leaving in droves to go to other places, but I have met many people who have come here from places like Mexico, Scotland, Russia, Iraq, and on, who have come here because they want a piece of what America has to offer. And the killer apps, Ferguson says, that made us who we are these: competition, science, property rights, modern medicine, consumerism, and the work ethics. And again, he notes that all these things did not just happen to us by chance. All 6 of these killer apps find their basis in the Christian religion. The work ethic, for example, Max Weber, a German guy, wrote about the Americans about 100 years ago, the Protestant work ethic. And basically he said that a lot of Americans work hard because they're Calvinists. And if you're a Calvinist, then you're not sure if you're one of the chosen or not, or if you're chosen to go to hell. But what you do is look at your life, and you see if God has blessed you or not. And you want God to bless you. You want to be able to look at your life and say, look, God has blessed me. I must be going to heaven. And so how do you get to be blessed? How do you get material possessions, a lot of children, those sorts of things? Well, you work hard. Protestant work ethic. Martin Luther took another tack. He talks about vocation. And whatever your vocation, Luther says, father, mother, employer, employee, citizen, whatever you're doing, you're working for God and your fellow man. What you do to serve God and your fellow man. And by the way, like in your job, you might get paid for it, but you're working to serve God and your fellow man. That's why we are like we are. Medicine. That's kind of a Christian idea. The idea that people get sick and that maybe we should help them to get better, which I agree with, of course, that's a Christian idea. For example, Ferguson said, Gandhi, the famous guy in India who's no longer with us, Gandhi, for example, looked at the West and our emphasis on hospitals and medicine and getting better, and he says, what's the point? What's the point? We're all going to die anyway. Killer apps. Competition. Science, property rights, modern medicine, consumerism, and the work ethic. Killer apps. Old Testament Judaism, they had their killer apps also. Useful and used by the people of Israel for hundreds of years, and most of those killer apps centered on the building of the temple and the person of the priest and the things done by the people in that building. Daily sacrifices to the temple. People brought their daily sacrifices, a reminder of their sin, a reminder that blood would have to be shed for that sin. The Day of Atonement, once a year, a goat was slaughtered, the blood sprinkled on the people. Another one, the scapegoat, was sent out into the wilderness, the symbolism being, there go your sins one day. For events, for the firstborn of a woman after childbirth, they had events where you'd go to the temple. A lot of teaching took place at the temple. And the priest in the temple working. And the writer to the Hebrews, a Hebrew man, no doubt, talks about the temple, talks about the priest, talks about all the things that went on there, and says, It's okay. Those things are done. All of them have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The temple's not here. We don't need it anymore. The temple's not here, and that's okay, the writer to the Hebrews says. The disciples of Jesus noted to him that it was a magnificent building, and it was. And then he kind of rains on their parade, tells them that soon that magnificent building will not be here anymore. And in fact, it's not there anymore. In 70 AD, the Romans came in and they tore it down, all of it, except for the Wailing Wall, the West Wall. They left that. The Dome of the Rock's there now. And that's okay. Not the Dome of the Rock, but that the temple's no longer there. That's okay. Because moving from being the people of the building, the temple, to being the people of the word, the diaspora, Jews spread throughout all the world, that word spread throughout the world by means of the synagogue, another killer app. Put these Jewish places of worship all over the world, and you have people in there reading the scriptures out of the Bible. And then the word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled, templed among us. And that word is a powerful word. The means by which all things that were created were created. A word that continues to make Christians out of people. And you've heard the story about Alexei Stretlov, the Lutheran pastor in Siberia, so I won't tell that one again. And I thought that the Christians in Iraq were all gone. But I was corrected this week by NPR, National Public Radio. They ran a story last week. Many of the Christians in the Middle East have gone underground, which is what Christians often do in hard times. For the first 300 years, the early church, much of the church was underground. They had the divine service in secret. The church in China has been underground for many years and is now emerging, and they are even building churches, and sometimes the churches are allowed to stand. So how does China become a place where the Christian church is coming into its own? Bibles. Bibles. People get Bibles, and they read them, and they hear people teaching from the Bible, and they become Christians. NPR ran another story this week about a man named Silas. A man named Silas, who fled ISIS, arrived in Norway, then on to Germany, where he was exposed to Christianity. And of the religion of his youth, Silas says, "I studied a lot about my religion because I wanted to understand why we were better. In the end, what I concluded is that his religion was a big lie that a lot of people were falling for. And then in Germany, he met a Polish man with a Bible. And he says, when I started to read the Bible, it changed me, he says. I had a lot of questions, and Pastor Martin said that I should come to class and ask my questions. At first, I didn't want to be a Christian. I just wanted to understand it. But the answers I got, the more I wanted to stay. And I realized I was finding God." And he was baptized in May. And Silas says he's so committed to his new faith that even if he were deported back to Iran, he would never give it up. So a man named Silas was curious, dabbling, and God made a Christian out of him, like he made a Christian out of Alexei Stretlov, like he makes Christians in large numbers in China, like he makes Christians in East Africa, and in Iowa too. So I got David Garrison's book, A Wind in the House of Islam, and he talks about how God is making Christians all over the world, even in Muslim countries. And how does God do that? You guessed it, by the word. The opening has a man inside of a coffin, and the coffin's in use. It's a good way to smuggle in Bibles, because who wants to look inside of a coffin that's in use, and they don't embalm in that place? He identifies the place as East Africa. And the Christians there will give Bibles to their non-Christian neighbors, and their neighbors will read the Bible and they'll say, you know, this Jesus, I kind of like him. I think your religion is better. I think I want to be one of you. They get baptized, which is a very dangerous thing to do. They get baptized because that's what Christians do. And if the first killer app in the church is the word, then perhaps more brilliant still is when God adds that word to water and he invents baptism, which he uses to do all sorts of things. In baptism, God washes away the sins of Christopher and the rest of us. In baptism, God gives the Holy Spirit to Christopher and the rest of us. In baptism, he puts on the righteousness of Christ onto us. He tells us that we're participating in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And he tells us that we're born from above a second time. That second birth, we will never die. That's what God does in baptism. And God keeps making Christians. And look at that. He made, confirmed another one this morning. He heard the word, baptized, and becomes a Christian. Now there's a killer app, if ever there was one. The word, and the word added to water, and the word also added to the bread and wine, the sacrament of the altar, another killer app. Whereby God keeps feeding Christians, whereby God keeps nourishing Christians, killer apps that bring and sustain life. No, the temple isn't there anymore, disciples. The Romans tore it down, stone by stone. Some of the stone is still there, the west wall, the wailing wall. Much of the stone was transported back to Rome to build monuments and temples to the Roman gods, built largely with the slave labor of the conquered. That was a hard thing for them, but it's okay. It's okay. To be sure, for hundreds of years, the temple housed killer apps that have gone the way of the Model T and the buggy whip. Circumcision has been circumscribed by baptism. The Passover has been passed over, replaced by the sacrament of the altar, and the Christ proclaimed as coming has come and will come again. And when he does, he will raise up all the dead and bring his people to himself in heaven, where they will live eternally in bliss. Resurrection from the dead, new bodies, everlasting life. There's a killer app for you, huh? Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.